He was born in 1919. It was he that was ordered to climb the mountain. He picked his boys and led them safely to the top, explained to the boys that the larger the flag had to be raised so that every Marine on this cruddy island could see it. It was Mike who gave the orders to find a pole and attach the flag and put her up. One of the men that survived was called a hero by President Truman. He didn't feel very heroic. As he later lamented, "How could I feel like a hero when only 5 men in my platoon of 45 survived? When only 27 men in my company of 250 managed to escape death or injury?" David Hickman, 23, was the last soldier killed in Iraq. 25,000 men died in the American Revolution, over 20,000 in the War of 1812, over 13,000 in the Mexican-American War, over 116,000 in World War I, over 405,000 in World War II, over 36,000 in Korean War, over 58,000 in the Vietnam War, and over 6,800 in Enduring Freedom and Iraqi Freedom. Freedom is never free. It costs greatly. Though I am thankful to be an American, though I'm thankful for the men and women that have given their lives for this freedom, and I don't think we should ever take that for granted, can I tell you that true and total freedom is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I'd like for us to just look from the Word of God, and in between, I'm going to try to mix some stories of men who have given their lives sacrificially for this great country. One person has said, "Blood has been spilled from sea to shining sea." Freedom, according to the dictionary, means the state of being free or at liberty, rather than in confinement or under physical restraint. It can mean exemption from external control or interference or regulation. The power to determine action without restraint. Political or national independence. A personal liberty as opposed to bondage or slavery. Biblically, the word freedom gives the idea of a citizenship or the rights of a citizen. The word is used in Acts chapter 22 and verse 28 when the Roman guard is arguing with Paul, and Paul says, "I'm a Roman citizen." And the chief captain answered him, "With a great sum attained I this freedom." And Paul said, "But I was freeborn." In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth. That's the Greek word used there, the citizenship, if you will, of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Definition of freedom. One that's really interesting to me in this is the power to determine action without restraint. The Bible tells us that when we were sinners, we had no control. There was no freedom from sin, but Jesus Christ brought that freedom. You and I didn't have the ability to tell sin no until Jesus Christ came in the picture, and then he gave us the freedom to say no to sin. So we see the definition of freedom, but we look at the disputant of freedom or the enemy of freedom. America's enemies have varied over the years, but as a general rule, we could say that our enemies have been the enemies of freedom. As a general rule, America has defended freedom, not only here, but abroad. But we as individuals before God, we have some enemies too, don't we? The Bible tells us that Satan is our enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He's the enemy of freedom. Satan would love to bind you, which is what he loves to do. He loves to take someone like a Samson who was able to do great things for God and because of sin choices be bound in a prison house, if you will, grinding for the enemy. But as we've already mentioned, there's another enemy of freedom, and that's sin itself. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." He continues, Paul does, in the latter part of that chapter, in verses 16 and 17. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Jesus Christ gave us the freedom from sin. But not only is Satan an enemy, but sin is an enemy, but death is an enemy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 26, it says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." If you've ever had a loved one die, you know how you get, if you could, angry at death. How it's taken precious things from us. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it says, "And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Freedom always has an enemy. One of the mantras of World War II was, "The war to end all wars." But that was not true, for just a few years later, we enter into the Korean War, and then we enter into Vietnam, and it goes on, because freedom always has enemies. There's always someone out there that would love to bind you. Spiritually and physically, there was always someone there. You must recognize the enemy today, because if you don't, you're in trouble. But I want us to see the third thing to this morning, and that is the deity of freedom. John chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That verse specifically is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who would willingly go to the cross and pay my penalty and pay your penalty so that we have the freedom from sin. But that verse certainly could apply to many men and women over the ages. I could have chosen thousands of stories this week. I did a lot of reading, and to just be honest with you, a lot of crying this week. It's hard to do a lot of that kind of stuff and look at the history and what some of these, particularly men, and though I know now we have ladies giving their lives as well, what some of these men did for freedom is incredible. I could tell you lots of stories. Most people have never heard of the little island of Wake Island, who was attacked moments after Pearl Harbor was attacked, and how those men tenaciously defended that island with just a handful of Navy and Marine Corps personnel, held off an entire Japanese fleet for days until they finally were captured. And by the way, tortured for over 4 years of the war before they were finally liberated. Now, this particular young man, for conspicuous gallantry at the risk of life above and beyond the call of duty, Private First Class Ross A. McGinnis, distinguished himself by acts of gallantry above and beyond the call of duty while serving as an M2 50 caliber machine gunner, 1st Platoon, C Company, 1st Battalion, 26th Marine Regiment, in connection with combat operations against an armed enemy in Anawanya. Not sure I'm saying that right, but you can give a stab at it. Northeast Baghdad, Iraq, on December 4th, 2006. That afternoon, his platoon was conducting combat control operations in an effort to reduce and control sectarian violence in the area. While Private McGinnis was manning the M2 50 caliber machine gun, a fragmentation grenade thrown by an insurgent fell through the gunner's hatch into the vehicle. Reacting quickly, he yelled "grenade," allowing all four of his crew to prepare for the grenade's blast. Then, rather than leaping from the gunner's hatch to safety, Private McGinnis made the courageous decision to protect his crew. In a selfless act of bravery in which he was mortally wounded, Private McGinnis covered the live grenade, pinning it between his body and the vehicle, absorbing most of the explosion. Private McGinnis' gallant action directly saved four men from serious injury or death. Private First Class McGinnis' extraordinary heroism and selflessness at the cost of his own life above and beyond the call of duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflect great credit upon himself, his unit, the United States Army. That's the citation for his Medal of Honor. I'm grateful for men who have given their lives, but I'm even far greater for the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself on Calvary so that you and I could be free from sin. John chapter 8, verses 32 through 34 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" What do we need to be made free from? Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant to sin." Verse 36 of that same chapter, it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." John chapter 14 and verse 6, our Lord says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In Romans chapter 5, verse 15, you're there. "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life." I'm so glad that our Lord Jesus paid that ultimate penalty. Do you know the enemy that we talked about earlier would love to deceive you? He would love to tell you that he's really your friend, but he's not. The Bible tells us in John 8:44 that he's a liar from the beginning. One of the fiercest conflicts that took place in the Far East in World War II was the battle for Okinawa. As the impending victory of the American forces was sure, the Japanese soldiers began to tell the locals that the victorious Americans would rampage them and rape their women and children. Some of the newspapers later reported, "There are many Okinawans who have testified that the Japanese army directed them to commit suicide. There are also people who have testified that they were handed grenades by Japanese soldiers to blow themselves up. Thousands of civilians have been induced by Japanese propaganda to believe that U.S. soldiers were barbarians committing horrible atrocities, killing their families and themselves to avoid capture. Some of them threw themselves and their family members from the southern cliffs where the Peace Museum now resides. It's called Suicide Cliffs. Lisa and I have stood there, viewed the thousands of crosses of men who died to liberate that island." Japanese were not the friends to the Okinawans. They were lying to them. If you go to Okinawa today, and I've been there multiple times, don't you dare call an Okinawan a Japanese, because they were not their friend. They were shocked when the Americans came aboard and did not pursue this torture and rape and murder of civilians. And realizing that that which they thought was their friend was actually their enemy. The enemy is going to continue to tell you lies because that's who he is. But you must not believe him. God is not the enemy, but he's your friend. Some have tried to make God the enemy, but some have even ridiculed him. Said, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and And ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. That he was. And I'm grateful. Will you accept him this morning? But number four, the deal for freedom. So what is it that needs to happen in order for me to accept this freedom? Romans chapter 8 and verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. And you that were sometimes alien and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought together. Romans 5 and verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So what happens to happen? It's going to cost me something, right? I need to pay something. Freedom is not free, but it's not going to cost you anything to accept the free gift of eternal life. There's three simple steps the Bible tells us that we have to do. First off, we have to admit that we're a sinner. We have to be willing to say, you know what, I'm tired of living this life. I'm ready to turn my back on that. Acts 3 and verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, I tell you but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The enemy would love to again whisper in your ear, listen, you're not that bad. I think you can do this yourself. You can't do that. It's a free gift offered to you by Jesus Christ to free you from the shackles of sin. Not only must you admit, but you must believe. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Admit that you're a sinner. Be willing to repent of that sin. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And lastly, you need to confess. As Romans 10:9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No, freedom isn't free. It's going to cost someone, somewhere, something. In many cases throughout history, it's cost thousands upon thousands upon thousands of American lives. And in most of those cases, it's been accepted. In some of those cases, it's been rejected. Though liberated from dictatorships and so forth, they have rejected that freedom. And the truth is, this morning, there are people all over this world that Jesus Christ has freed from the bondage of sin, but they've rejected it. You can't make them take it. But you can sure offer it as a free gift. How will you respond to the offer of freedom in Christ? This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you accept that free gift? As we remember those who have given their life for our earthly freedom, may we never forget the cross of Christ that secured our eternal freedom. Father, how we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that we were born in a country where we can practice this service this morning. We can practice our freedom of religion. But Lord, it's come with a deep price at times. Hundreds of thousands of lives have paid for that. Hundreds of thousands of more have shed their blood, though they have not ultimately given their lives. Many of them are crippled and maimed, and some just gave portions of their lives for the defense of freedom. But Lord, that's just temporal. The fact is, you came to this earth, died an incredibly heinous death to pay for the sins of the entire world. How I'm grateful for that. Lord, how I'm grateful that though sometimes wars have to be fought again, and though sometimes ground has to be recaptured that once was captured in the past, but Lord, the fact is that you offered a sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, you know the spiritual condition of people here this morning. If they don't know Christ as their Savior, if they've never had that point in time when they've repented of their sins, believed in you, and confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus, would you help this morning to be that morning? We'd love for that to be the case. Heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, just quickly. This morning, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you repented of your sins and trusted Him as your Savior? Confessed Him? Boy, this morning would be a great morning to get that right with Him. If you've never done that, but you'd like to this morning, can I pray with you? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'd love to pray with you. Say, Pastor, I've never done that before, but I'd love to learn more about it. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand and say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I've never had a time when I've repented, believed, and confessed Him, but I'd like to get some more information about that. Can I pray for you this morning? Anyone like that? Christian, when's the last time you thanked Christ for the freedom He offered you on the cross? I know some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive, but we should never forget what He did for us. I trust this morning that you'll thank Him for that. Father, work now in lives and hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen.